And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? And he said unto her, Give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft where he abode and laid him upon his own bed. And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again. And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived. Hello, my friends, and welcome once again to another edition of the Answer the Call broadcast. This is Brother Nick stepping in for this evening. If you have your Bibles handy, we are turning to the book of 1 Kings, chapter number 17. 1 Kings, chapter number 17. And we're looking at verses 17 through 22. Now, if you're unfamiliar with this chapter, the Lord had just sent Elijah down to this home in order to sustain the man of God. And we pick up there in verse number 8 and 9 in chapter 17, where it says this, And the word of the Lord came unto him, that's Elijah, saying, Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Ah, folks, aren't you glad that God has always made a way to sustain his people? Now, tomorrow, of course, is known as Resurrection Sunday, and boy, I am so glad about Resurrection Sunday, because today's message is all about the remembrance of the resurrection, the remembrance of the resurrection. We look here in 1 Kings chapter 17, verse number 17, where it says this, And it came to pass after these things that the son of the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. Folks, here there are three distinct opportunities that we must acknowledge. Number one, there was a certain location. There was a certain location. Just like at Calvary, there was a certain location for our wonderful Savior to die on the cross for our sins. The second thing we see here is that there was indeed a certain son. Jesus of Christ is known as the Son of God, who also paid for our sins at Calvary. But then I see here, there is also a certain sickness that took the life, that took the very breath of this dear son. And our Lord, our wonderful Savior, also took a sickness upon him that there was no more breath left in him. That sickness, my friends, was the sickness of sin. Right before he died, Jesus said, It is finished. The sin debt, the sickness, the infirmity you and I had was taken upon Jesus at Calvary. And boy, aren't you glad for that? Amen. You see, here in the Bible, in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21, it says this, For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin. You see, that was the sickness the Savior had to take upon him in order for him to pay for our sin. Folks, if you look throughout Scripture, some people think when it comes to the resurrection, you always look at the New Testament. But folks, there are so many different depictions of the resurrection all throughout Scripture. And today we're going to key in on 1 Kings chapter 17. Look at the same verse again. It says this, that the righteousness of God would be revealed in him. And that's, of course, found in 2 Corinthians. And only in Jesus Christ is the righteousness of God truly revealed. But I am glad and I am so excited that tomorrow we get to celebrate the resurrection day, the day our wonderful Savior not only paid for our sin debt at that time, so many years ago, but 3 days later, he then rose from the dead. Our sickness, our sin had been paid for. Jesus himself gave himself up for our sins. We see here, though, that when it comes to this child, it says that he gave up his last breath. It says in Mark chapter 15, 37, And Jesus cried with a loud voice and gave up the ghost. Jesus himself was a son. Jesus himself gave up the last breath. But it doesn't stop there. And that's the best part about the Word of God. It doesn't just stop at one point. It continues. Look in verse number 18 with me. It says, And she said unto Elijah, What have I to do with thee, thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sin to remembrance and to slay my son? You see, when Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins, He became guilty for us so that we no longer would have to be guilty, because the Lord Jesus Christ gave his beautiful blood so that we could be saved. We can rejoice knowing that no longer do we have to remember our sin because of what Jesus did at Calvary. But look at verse 19 now. It says this, "And she said unto," he said unto her rather, "Give me thy son." And he took him out of her bosom and carried him up into a loft, where he abode and laid him in his own bed. Folks, this is also repeated in the New Testament in the book of Acts. Acts 13:29, it says this, "And when they had fulfilled all that was written of him, they took him down from the tree," that was the cross, "and laid him in a sepulcher." They laid the Lord Jesus in his own bed. All throughout Scripture, we see exactly what it is, why we should continue to remember the resurrection. To remember the resurrection. And we are so thankful that God has given us so many opportunities to see that just in his word. But look now in verse 20 with me, in 1 Kings 17, verse 20. "And he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son?" Did you know this, folks? That in fact, if you look at the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are some people, even Satan himself, thought that when Jesus died, he had won, when in actuality, Satan did not win. The religious leaders did not win. Rome did not win. And actually what happened was that it was God's plan from the beginning. It was God's plan from the beginning, because the story of the death of this dear son, just like the story of our Savior, it did not end there. It was God's plan from the beginning. In John chapter 17, verse 24, it says this, Jesus speaking to the Father. This is in John 17. This is truly the Lord's Prayer. Look at what he says in verse 24. He says, "Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world." This ties in with more scripture as we look in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 26. It says, "For then must he," that's Jesus, "often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." Before the foundation of the world, my friends, the Lord God already had a plan to save his children, to save his people. And that was through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. This is the plan that God had for man, and it was established even before we got here. But let's continue now in the Word of God. Look in verse 21 with me. It says this. It says, "And he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord my God, I pray thee, let this child's soul come into him again." Oh, folks, what is this a picture of? It's interesting how Elijah himself had to stretch three times upon this child. Why is that? Well, interesting to note, there are three things here we must take into consideration. When it comes to the resurrection, there was the number three. The number three has a very interesting meaning. It has to deal with completeness. Without Elijah stretching himself three times, he wouldn't have been able to do exactly what God wanted him to do for the plan of God to be fulfilled and this child to be revived. The Lord Jesus was dead and buried in the tomb 3 days, and then after 3 days, he rose from the dead. And there were those who didn't believe it. In John 2:19, "And Jesus answered and said to them, Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up again." So we first must understand the times, that the three times, the number three. Secondly, we must understand the time in which he was actually in the position. You see, folks, we see that Elijah had cried unto the Lord, this for the soul to be returned. The disciples wanted so much for Jesus to return, they were afraid. But what do we see here? We see not only the time that Jesus was in the ground, we see the trial of the disciples. Remember the time that Jesus was dead and there wasn't anything that any religious leaders could do? But what did they say? They said, you know what? We want to make sure that he's dead and buried. We want to make sure he's not going anywhere. So they put a seal, they put soldiers, and they put that stamp saying that, you know what? We're not going to have his body stolen away. You see, there are people who don't even believe in the resurrection of Jesus. But then again, even to this day, folks, they still cannot find the Savior's body. You see, the soldiers had to surround this tomb and seal it just to make sure that Jesus would not rise from the dead. But even soldiers, even men, could not stop the resurrection. We should always be remembering the resurrection, my friends. Thirdly, we see God reviving the son again. And in verse 22, it says this, "And the Lord heard the voice of Elijah, and the soul of the child came into him again, and he revived." In Matthew's Gospel 28, 5 through 6, it says this, "And the angel answered and said unto the woman, Fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen, as he said. Come see the place where the Lord laid." You see, just like in the Old Testament, just like there was this certain place with this certain son at this certain time, just like our wonderful Savior, there was a certain place. That place was called Calvary. There was a certain time. There was a certain son, the Son of God, and there was a certain trial. And we can thank God that even through the midst of trials, we know that our Savior reigns forevermore. Even though he had to take upon the sin upon himself, he did not stay in that tomb, folks. He rose from the dead. Praise his holy name for that. And isn't it great to know that there's a Father in heaven who knows our every need and who knows our biggest need is to put our faith in the Lord, in the risen, resurrected Savior. Knowing we have a wonderful, risen Savior, it always excites my soul to hear that song, "Christ the Lord is risen today. Ah, hallelujah. Christ the Lord is risen today." Or maybe you're going to sing the song, "I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say." But what about you, my friends? Have you put your faith now in the resurrected Savior? Are you still living in the past? Are you the kind of person who this beautiful Lord's Day tomorrow during the resurrection is going to give your heart to Christ? Or is it just going to be another time of Easter or something? Folks, put your trust in Jesus Christ. Knowing that the risen Savior now lives, we can remember the resurrection. We can put our faith in what he's done. Would you be willing to do that today? Would you be willing to answer the call?